Discovering my life mission. Discovering my life mission. Amen. Does anybody have a testimony tonight before we start? Anybody have something they want to praise the Lord about? Nobody? Amen. Discovering my life's mission. What does the scripture say in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7 from the ESV? It says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Discovering my life's mission. Let's just stand one more time. Why don't you pray with me, and let's pray that God would touch our hearts and our minds, and pray that the touch of the Holy Ghost upon the preaching and the teaching tonight. Go ahead. Why don't you pray? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, we praise you. Come on, Rod, come up here and pray and ask the touch of the Lord here tonight. Would you do that for me, please? Praise God. Praise God.
Bow your heads. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for coming here tonight. We want to thank you, Lord, for being in your presence. We want to thank you for gathering. Help open up our mind, our understanding as we hear the word of God, and help it change our life for your word, so that we can help impact the society in which we're in. You're coming soon, Lord, and help us, Lord, to hear our pastor, to support our pastor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Discovering my life's mission. You ever think about what is God's purpose for creating me? Why am I born? Why am I living my life? Why am I doing the things that I'm doing? Sometimes I was talking to Brother Mike earlier, and sometimes when things are calm, when you get to my age, you appreciate things being a little calmer. Sometimes it's not as exciting, but when things are calm, I kind of appreciate that. But I remember sometimes we get in a routine, and we wonder, you know, what's this all about? You know, why did God bring me in this world? Why am I here? Anybody ever think that? Of course, we all think that. So we've got to discover our mission in this world, and we've got to first understand a couple of things. Number one is God's overall purpose in creating human beings. And number two, Jesus' mission himself when he came to earth. Number one, we were made to have what? A relationship with God. We're not made for God to be the big guy. It's funny the way that we think about God, isn't it? The Bible says God's a spirit, yet we think of him as this great old man in heaven waiting to hit us with a baseball bat when we do wrong. Right? We think about Jesus as the Son of God, and some people have a very difficult time with the oneness because they don't understand that a spirit can't have a child like a normal man and woman can. And that's going to be, Brother Rod, I'm going to email you some stuff to have ready, finish getting ready for Sunday for the discipleship course. We need to dwell on that a little bit. Jesus and being the Son of God. I've pulled up some materials, and I think it's very, very good. Amen. Scripture says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." And of course, he was not talking to the second and the third person of the Trinity. If anything, he was talking to the angels that surrounded him. The Living Bible tells us that long ago, before he made the world, and I'm going to use several different versions here tonight, and the reason I'm using several different versions is to give us a little bit of thinking. Sometimes they'll put things in a different way. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not that good, but I won't use the ones that aren't good. I'll just use the ones that will make you think a little bit. Amen. Long ago, before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. His unchanging plan. Everybody say unchanging plan. It's always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And sometimes we don't understand that we're not just coming to the house of the Lord. We're part of a family. Now, you may have a physical family. Obviously, none of us were born in test tubes. We all had a mom and dad, and some of us may not know that dad or know that mom, and others do. I was not raised in I was raised in what you call a secular Christian home, but I knew my mom and dad, and they were, as far as people, they were good folks when they weren't sinning. But the Lord, when we get into the church, He adopts us into a family, and it's His family. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 3:15, I believe it is, says that we are all named with the family name, and of course that name comes upon us when we take on the waters of baptism. That name is Jesus. Amen? Amen. Number two, we were made to, what else? Become like who? Yeah. Wouldn't all the problems in this world, you know, we got a lot of things happening in this world. Jonathan, how many of those problems would be solved if people would just simply be like Jesus? He never stole, never robbed anybody, never killed anybody, made the bad guys go away. The problem with the world is we've got a lot of people. I mean, there are many Christians. I think there's 500 billion or a billion Christians in this world, by name at least. And the problem is many of them don't represent Jesus. They're just Christians in name alone. And we can't afford to be like that. We are made to be like Jesus Christ. Amen? Like Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29 from the NIV says, "For those God foreknew, He also did predestine to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters too." You can, ladies, you can be like Jesus. You don't have to be like the man Jesus, but it's the Spirit, it's the goodness, it's the meekness, it's the humbleness that's inside Christ. Amen. That's good for men and women. Praise the Lord. What did that say again? He said, conformed to the likeness of the pastor. No, didn't say that. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I bet I could, if somebody would be honest with me, you might tell me, "Pastor, you really irritated me so bad by doing whatever." Yeah. None of us are perfect. We all have our personality quirks, and sometimes we demand more of people than we demand of ourselves. Amen? So think about it. The next time you get mad at somebody, put yourself in their place and say, what would justify you being mad at yourself in that respect? We're supposed to be like Jesus. Amen? That's what the Scripture tells us. In the Romans 8:29 from the Message Bible, and that's sometimes why we read these different versions, they've got a little bit of different wording. God knew what He was doing from the very beginning. Do you think that God got so caught by surprise when Satan rebelled? That God said, "I didn't think of this one. What am I going to do now?" Or when Adam sinned? Or when you got the Holy Ghost and you messed up? You think God was caught by surprise? He knew what He was doing from the very beginning. Amen. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those that love Him. Amen. Can't shape the lives of people that don't love you. Along the same lines as the life of His Son, we see the original and intended shapes of our lives there in Him. Amen. We're supposed to, again, be like the Lord. We're made to be like Him. 1 Corinthians 15:49. "Just as we are now like Adam, the man of the earth, so we will one day, someday, be like Christ." Amen. And we're not talking about, you know, some people have the misconception, you live like the devil here, and when the rapture happens, He's going to change you. No, He changes us here. Amen? That's why the Bible says, Romans 12, 1 and 2, present your bodies a, what kind of sacrifice? Living sacrifice. You're no good to the Lord dead. Amen. He wants a living sacrifice. And we're supposed to be conformed into His image as we grow in the Lord. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 from the New Century Version. We know that when Christ comes again, we will be like Him because we will see Him as He really is. Amen. And that goes on to the next thing. Why are we here? Number three, we are made to do what? Serve His purpose. We're not here to live our own life. We're here to serve the Lord. You're not here to serve the pastor. Although if we serve the Lord, we will serve in the church. And then some misconstrue that as serving a man when it's not. Sometimes you're going to see a couple of slides in here where I put in the thought, we need an attitude check sometimes. An attitude check sometimes. We serve the purpose and the mission of Jesus Christ. And we're going to go into that a little bit. Amen. God has made us, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 from the New Century Version again. God has made us what we are in Christ Jesus. God made us to do what kind of works? Good works, which He planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. You ever get tired of doing good? I get tired. Sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes I get tired. I spent about 5 hours the other day teaching Bible study. And sometimes I get a little frustrated. But what does the Bible say, Brother Sabas? It says, be not weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. What are we looking to reap? Bringing in the sheaves. You know, we get all messed up with our thinking. I don't know about you, but I want to bring some folks to heaven with me. Amen? I want to bring some folks to heaven with me. That's why I sang the songs I sang tonight. We've got some nice music today, and some of the new songs are nice, but some of that music is so shallow. You don't hear the message. You hear a little message, you know, like, Lord, help me. Lord, do this through me. Lord. But some of the message needs to be sowing in the morning, sowing in the evening. Sometimes we're cast down, but we're going to do it anyhow. We're going to bring in the sheaves. Isn't that what the scripture says? Those that sow with tears shall reap with joy, and doubtless will come, I think it's in the latter part of this Bible study, bringing in the sheaves. Amen. We've got that's all part of our mission, all part of our purpose, as we're going to look into it a little bit. Number four, we were also planned. If you think that when this body dies, your life is over, you're sadly mistaken. Amen. Maybe I'll get 70 years, which means I'm running out of time. Some of us are over time. Some of us are like, man, I'll never be 70. I remember when I was in my 20s thinking, man, I'll never, you know, 50's a long way off now. I'm like, that's behind me a little bit. So I passed over that hump. Another hump's going to come in some years, 60 and then 70. And sooner or later, I'm going to be gone. But the spirit is going to live on. Amen? The body's going to die. It's going to go. But the spirit is going to live on. And if we serve the Lord, the Bible teaches us we're going to have a new body. Amen? A new life, a new body, a new place, streets of gold. Hallelujah. He has planted eternity in the human heart. They say that there are no atheists on their deathbed. Ephesians 1 and 10 from the Living Bible. This is His purpose, that when the time is ripe, He will gather us all together to be with Him in Christ forever. Notice what He said, when the time is ripe. When the fullness of time came, Jesus was born. When the fullness of time comes again, there's going to be this thing called the rapture. And really, I've got about four or five lessons here. And when we're through that, I really need to start talking about some prophetical events, because there's things happening in this world that points us closer and closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. Biblically, I'm not sure that there's anything left that has to be fulfilled. The only reason that Jesus has not come now is because there's still somebody saying yes. There's still a harvest, but when that harvest is done, it's going to be the end. Amen. A lot of things happening in this world today. What is life? This life is a preparation for life in eternity. A preparation for life in eternity. Somebody said, I was listening to something, they had a real neat illustration. And they were talking about if a little hummingbird had a little bucket of water, and every 1,000 years flew by the earth and picked up a little bit of water and brought it out into space, when the water on the earth was depleted, eternity will just have begun. You think about that. How long is eternity? How long? This 70 years, 80 years, 60 years, some people only have 30 years, 20 years, babies die. It's not promised to us. But when it's done, we're just in a preparation phase. Are you getting your house in order? Amen? Are you preparing for what's going to be coming? Hallelujah. What was Jesus' mission on earth? What was Jesus' mission on earth? Amen? He had a problem, and we've talked about that problem actually in the last couple of services, in Sunday services. We talked about the plight of the sinner 3 weeks ago. Our sin has broken our relationship with God. You notice something? God doesn't break His relationship with you. Think about it. If you've ever been away from God, the Lord was ready to receive you back, right? Just like my boys, my youngest son has kind of broken his relationship with me. It's because I think he feels condemnation for the life that I live. And it's his life that breaks the relationship. It's our life that breaks the relationship with God. Amen. Your iniquities, Isaiah 59 and 2. Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you. And God's solution, which we're preaching on again this Sunday. Amen. Let me admonish you. When you pray, pray for a spirit of liberty in this house. I guess not. We need to break some spirits. We need to break through some barriers that are holding us back. Pray for the liberty of the Holy Ghost. Pray for this preacher that he might preach the word with anointing and the touch of God. Amen. God's solution. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, notice the should not perish. Doesn't say will not perish. Should not perish. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to be lost. He wants them to have eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ restoring the world unto himself. Restoring the world unto himself. Jesus' life mission. We talked about what's our life about. That's what this Bible study is tonight, or this course is tonight. What's our life about? Our life is to do his will, to be in the family, to be part of the family. Amen. Adopted into the family of God. Some of us feel like we have no one. You've got the family of God. Amen. And I'm probably that grumpy old uncle or something. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Luke 19 and 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Seek and save that which was lost. That's what Jesus came for. One of the reasons, that's part of his mission, a very big part of his mission, to seek and save that which was lost. If we are part of him, it's got to be part of our mission in life. Be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. When the Lord talks to you, says, go talk to that one. Don't be ashamed to serve him. Don't be ashamed to say, God wanted me to talk to you. You never know what the Lord will do in those situations. John 18 and 37 from the New Century Version. This is why I was born and I came into the world to tell people the truth. And I've been teaching Bible studies, and I've told a couple of folks lately, now, do you want me to tell you the truth, or do you want me to lie to you? Amen? Do you want me to tell you the truth, or do you want me to lie to you? People invariably say they want you to tell you the truth. They don't always want to hear the truth. Amen? But they invariably say they want to hear the truth. John 10 and 10, I came to give life, life in all its fullness. Jesus didn't come to make you drab and to make you dreary. He came that you might have a good life. How many of you can say that you live for God for a while? It's a good life living for the Lord. Amen. It's a good life living for the Lord. I can tell you that. I would not have traded nothing. This old song that we sing. Wouldn't trade nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around. Offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want. And worldly fame if I could still I wouldn't. Take nothing for my journey now. I wouldn't take anything. There's been some tough times, yes. There's been some hard times. There's been some disappointments. But it's a good life living for the Lord. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got disappointments. But when it's all said and done, it's a good life living for the Lord. Amen. Jesus' life mission. I have come as a light, John 14, 26. To shine in this dark world. Isn't it a dark world that we live in? It's a dark world that we live in. I was discussing with somebody the other day. They were telling me, they talked to some young lady's mother. Why do you let your daughter dress like a prostitute? They can't see the damage that they are doing to children in this world in which we live. The lust that is brought up. I've seen young men look at my wife like she is a piece of meat hanging on a hook. There are young men that are so bound up with lust and so bound up with all kinds of ungodly desires. He came to have us, to himself shine as a light, so that all that put their trust in him will no longer wander in the darkness. And I'm glad that I don't have to wander in the darkness. How many of you didn't have electric when we had that hurricane last year? I was glad that I had a generator. I didn't have to wander in the darkness. Praise God. It's no fun being dark all over the place. I'm glad that I had some light. We ought to be glad that we've got the light of the Lord in our life. Amen? You ought to praise Him for that. Give Him glory that He took you and He showed you the truth that's in the Word of God. Amen. He did not have to do this. He did not have to call you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He could have left you lost and undone. There's an old song that we sing. Maybe we need to sing this sometime. He brought me out of the miry clay, the Scripture says. He set my feet upon the rock to stay. God's been good to us. Amen. God's been good to us. Jesus' life mission. I must tell the good news about God's kingdom. I was going to sing another song, but we already had started late, so I didn't do it. But there's an old song that says, I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. It's called, I'm going to take a trip on that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring when I'm leaving this world goodbye. Amen. Sent to tell the good news. Praise God. Why? Now here's the thing. Let me ask you a question. Why does it matter to who? Me. Isn't that what life is about? Life is about me. 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 Why don't we do some things that we know we ought to do? Because it's inconvenient for me. Amen. Nobody ever said serving God was easy. It takes a real man or it takes a real woman to serve God. One of life's greatest motivators is to understand why something matters to me. Let's look at 10 facts that motivate me. Number one, if I want to be like Jesus, my life and my mission must include His life mission. Come on. Amen. John 17 and 18 from the Message Bible. Jesus prayed to the Father, in the same way that you give me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. King James says, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. The Message Bible makes it a little bit different. It says, well, you sent me on a mission, Father, and I'm going to send them on a mission. God has you on a mission. Come on, amen. You ought to say praise the Lord. Sometimes we let life drag us down and we let life make us dead. Well, there's not enough folks. Whatever you want to say. You ought to praise God because God is good to us. Amen. Amen. We get out of what we get in the house of the Lord what we put in. Amen. Jesus expects me. Point your finger at it. Say, Jesus expects me. Come on, take your finger, point it at yourself. Jesus expects me. To continue His mission. Can anybody tell me what the 5 great commissions of the Bible were? Everybody knows Matthew 28 and 19, so we'll just read that one. Go ye therefore and make what? Disciples. If you have failed being a disciple, you need to pass that. You need to learn to be a disciple. Come on, amen. What is a disciple? A disciple is a student of the master. What does a student do? A student learns. A student doesn't cut class. Ooh, that's a good one. Come on. A student doesn't cut class. A student is there for the work of the master. He wants to sit at Jesus' feet and learn. Amen. Don't cut class. I was really glad. I had a really mean English teacher when I was in high school. I had never cut class before, and the first time I cut class, you know what happened? I got suspended, and they sent a note home to my folks. I didn't cut class anymore. It was no fair either, because there was all kinds of people that cut class. Seems like they never got in trouble, but I got in trouble that one time. And now, you know what? I'm glad she did that to me. Don't get upset if the pastor busts on you a little bit. Come on. Hallelujah. Be a disciple. Go ye therefore. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says there needs to come a time when we become teachers. If you want to see this church truly explode, you know what's going to have to happen? Disciples are going to have to be made. Teachers are going to have to come out of disciples. Let me say that again. If you want this church to explode, you know what's got to happen? Disciples have to be made, and teachers have to come out of those disciples. There comes a time when we should become teachers. With the mission of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not the pastor. That's because you need an attitude checkup. This is a guy named Zig Ziglar. He says, you need a checkup from the neck up. Does anybody know what the second Great Commission was? Any of them? Which one? I can't hear you. Yep. He said unto them, go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Don't be afraid. I don't care who they are. He's not talking about dogs and cats and horses and birds. He's talking about every creature, every person from every country. Doesn't matter. You know, for some people, if I was to go over to Saudi Arabia, I'd be a creature. Be like, man, you're strange. Don't be afraid. Get out of your own culture. Don't only minister to your own culture. Reach out to anybody that you can possibly reach. Anybody that God opens a door to. Witness to them. Talk to them about the Lord. Don't hinder God's work. Can you see the problem that we would have if I only ministered to white folks? Let's see, be me and Mike here. Al's white, but he looks like he's Colombian. You're from Cuba. Mike's white, but he's from Russia. So if I did that WASP thing, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, I'd be just being Mike here with the whole thing. But we've got to get beyond our culture. Amen. Learn to love people and reach out to folks that are not, don't speak the same language as you, don't eat the same foods as you. Do something for the Lord like that. Jesus doesn't care about color. Jesus doesn't care about skin tone. He doesn't care about language. He doesn't care about the food you eat, the clothes you wear. He cares about the people inside the body, the spirit that's inside there. So don't hinder yourself by only reaching out to your own culture. Reach out to anybody that God will open a door for you to. Amen. The next one. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Actually, that's the same one. Now my printer started. I don't want to have to turn around all the time, so that's why I make the slides on the paper here. One of these days we'll get some monitor. I can see it. I don't have to keep doing this. Jesus expects me to continue my mission. Luke 24, 44 through 49. These are the words which I have spoken while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now you got to understand something. Them folks have been walking with Jesus 3 years. They still were clueless. You say, well, I've been living for God 6 months now and I just don't understand. Well, join them. Be a disciple. Like I said, this Sunday, I think we're gonna backtrack, and since we were talking about the oneness of God so much, we're going to have a few more discipleship lessons on the oneness of God. We'll talk about the Son of God and understanding that without the human thinking in there. Understanding how the Father is in the Son. Amen. Be a disciple. Ask him to open your understanding. Then he said unto them, oops, I was ahead of it. Then he said unto them, it's written, and behold, Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. The next great commission, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come up. You know, I've been preaching a lot about the Holy Ghost, but I thought for sure we were going to break through some stuff Sunday. Why do I do that? Why do I insist on people receiving the Holy Ghost? First of all, it's part of the born-again experience. Second of all, I don't care if you've been around. Sometimes folks have been around need to do what we Pentecostals call pray through. What's praying through? You've had the Holy Ghost before. It's been a little while since you talked in tongues. You need to pray until God comes down and that power comes one more time and pours some anointing upon us. Hallelujah. Come on. You know I'm telling the truth. But if the Scripture says you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, why would I not preach about the Holy Ghost? Why would I not say, some of you folks that haven't received the Holy Ghost, you need to receive the Holy Ghost. Some of you folks that have the Holy Ghost need to get a recharge. Hallelujah. Pray for liberty in the Spirit this Sunday. Pray for the power of God to come down in this place. We've seen it. We've seen it happen. It's not something that's new to us. And we've seen it come and wane. There's a spiritual battle that we fight. My friend, Brother Votsaw, said, preacher's graveyards, because there's a darkness in this area. And we've just got to keep praying and fasting until God breaks that darkness. And when that darkness is broken, revival will happen. And part of that darkness is that we do not understand ourselves, that we are part of Jesus' mission. His life needs to be our life. Is this all right tonight? Hallelujah. As my Father has sent me, Jesus said. Oh boy, this is a tough one. Now, are you convinced that Jesus' mission was to save the lost? Jesus' mission was to bring light? What does the Bible says? He says, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. And you. And you. And you. Hallelujah. I will admit that sometimes I get my duties and they bog me down. I get frustrated with that. Spent all day on the computer today trying to get our district stuff set up for some stuff. But you know what? My primary goal is we've got to have a move of God in this place. And there's just not enough of me to go around. You say, well, Pastor, you're pretty big. As a matter of fact, I'm almost twice the man I was when I got married. But Jesus never meant for the church to run by the pastor alone. Come on. It's the body. And I have to say, either we got a tired body or we got a lazy body sometimes. Come on. Am I telling the truth or am I... Would you want me to tell you the truth or you want me to lie to you? Sometimes we're lazy. Well, you know what? I just don't feel like going to church. And as a matter of fact, and if I go to church, I'm just going to sit there. I ain't going to praise the Lord. I don't want to talk to nobody. Surely I don't want to get involved, teach a Bible study. L-A-Z-Y. When you get that Holy Ghost power inside of you working, you know what happens when you get that Holy Ghost power inside of you working, Sister Daisel? What are you doing? I'm going to pick on you. This is great. Let me send my notes. Those aren't notes to your boyfriend, are they? Amen. All right, give me five. Yeah. Boy, if she was playing on her phone texting her boyfriend in the Philippines, I think she'd be in trouble right now. When the Holy Ghost power gets moving inside of us, we wake up. We need some motivation. Amen. That's why prayer and fasting is great motivation. Well, sometimes you got to fast until you can pray, and I've said that many times. If you will be honest with you, some of us here don't feel like praying tonight. Then you need to fast till you feel like praying. Because sooner or later, if it ain't the first day, it's going to be the second day. If it ain't the, now, of course, not unless you're eating cheesecake and cheating on the side. I'm amazed at all the people say, well, I'm fasting. What did you fast? Well, I'm not eating hot dogs today. I'm fasting hot dogs, but I can have a steak. Come on. If you're going to do it, be real. Amen. If you're going to do it, be real. Fast and fast like the Bible teaches us to fast. Hallelujah. Now, this is what I said before. Attitude check. Everybody shout that out. Attitude check. Come on. I want to hear you say it nice and loud. Say it louder. Say it louder. All right. That's better. Everybody's awake now. As I said before, you are not serving your pastor. You're not helping your pastor make a better living. You are doing your part to be like Jesus and to contribute and to continue his mission. Yes, there has to be a pastor. Jesus said the pastor is a gift to the church. Whether you like it or not, Jesus gave you the gift. I know I don't want anybody to say, where's the store receipt so I can take it back? But I'm a gift to the church. You ever get that? People give you a gift, and they give you a store receipt, and you're like, man, I'm glad they gave me this receipt. Attitude check. We get to thinking, well, I'm just building up this his ministry. No, you're not. You are building up the kingdom of God. And by the way, I think the Bible tells us, it says, he that is faithful in much shall be made master of little. What does it say, Brother Rod? He is faithful in little, Jonathan, is made master of what? If you can't be faithful in the little bit that God gives you to do, don't expect God to give you anything great to do. Amen. Somebody must have been praying for me. I'm feeling my Holy Ghost oats tonight. Amen. Don't expect to do God to do great things in your ministry if you can't get the little bit of faithful part right. You'll always flounder. You'll never get anywhere until you get in your mind that you're going to be faithful. I've told you the story before. I pastored up until 93, from 86 to 93. I was very young. And I shouldn't have been pastoring, but I was pastoring. And I went to church. Things didn't go well. I went to a church and didn't like the pastor. And God spoke to me and said, I want you to stay here and minister to him. I don't tell you, Rod, I didn't like that. And my wife really didn't like that. We stayed there 6.5 years, almost 7 full years. And it was just before that. It was just in 2000 when we were done, God gave us freedom from that assignment. But it was in that 7 years that God changed my ministry, changed my life. I got to thinking about it. You know what? You know who opens the doors? Where's promotion come from? Anybody what the Bible says? Promotion comes from the Lord. I had to come to an understanding that if people were lost because I wasn't out there doing my thing and because God didn't promote me to do those things, that's God's business. That I needed to be faithful in the stuff. And I was faithful. During that time we built a building. That's when I really, really learned how to do sound stuff. A lot of things we did during that time. You've got to learn stuff. You've got to build yourself up. Don't be unfaithful. Be faithful. Amen. If you will be faithful in the little things that God puts in your way, he will make you master of much. But don't sit there and whine and cry if you're not faithful in the little that God's given you. Amen? So I've been doing it long enough. I don't know, maybe God doesn't think that. I did almost 7 years. I dare you to do it almost 7 years. Hallelujah. Book of Acts Church, where they went? They went, Acts 8:4, they went everywhere preaching the word. Where is everywhere? Everywhere. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that all Asia heard the word of God. They didn't even have a microphone. They didn't even have the internet. They didn't have tapes. They didn't have CDs. They didn't even have 8-track players. Yet all Asia heard the word of God. Why? Because there were some saints of God that got a burden to preach the word. You don't have to be a preacher to preach the word. Hallelujah. Where am I? I'm lost. Telling the good news. Telling the good news is my duty, something that I've got to do. And how terrible it is for me. The apostle wrote, if I do not tell the good news. What's the good news? The gospel. If I'm a Christian, my mission is not optional. It's not optional for me to say, you know what? I don't think I want to talk to anybody about this. I'm going to put my little light under a bushel and I'm going to hide it. Jesus said, if a city is set on a hill, if a candle is set on a hill, it's not made to be hidden. Let your life shine. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. If you say amen, real quick, you know, you might get me to quit sooner. It's 9 o'clock. Y'all were late anyway, so I'm going to preach anyhow. Where are we? Number four, sharing the gospel is a privilege. And God, 2 Corinthians 5:18, Living Bible, God has given us the privilege of urging everyone. You say, well, I don't think it's a privilege. You know what? That's why we need that attitude adjustment. It's a privilege. God called you. God saved you. He didn't save you to put you in a corner somewhere. He saved you to be a light. Urging everyone to come into His favor and be reconciled. This is a wonderful message that He's given to us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors. Sharing the gospel, that privilege. I am proud, Romans 1:16, New Century Version. I am proud of the good news. I am proud of the gospel because it's the power of God. Don't be ashamed. Somebody says, oh, you're one of them. Say, yeah, I'm one of them. I'm not ashamed. You'd be surprised how many people, when you tell, you come out, you say, well, you know what, this is what, let me tell you about it. No, I don't want to know about it. But there's going to be some folks that are going to say yes. Amen. This is reminding me we need to quit. But I'm not done yet. Praise God. Is it all right if I continue for a few more minutes? I don't have to rush. Brother Rick's not here tonight. We don't have to worry about traffic. That's the biggest problem. We get to go in that Lincoln Tunnel. I don't know if you know this. Sometimes when I leave here, I don't get home till 11:30 or 12 o'clock at night. So if you complain it takes you 30 minutes to get here, I don't want to hear it. Amen. I leave the house usually at 5 o'clock on Thursday night. Sometimes I do not get home till midnight. Not always, but sometimes. They got construction on the bridge till the end of the year, so there's going to be some of those nights. Very frustrating sometimes. Remember that in the past you were without Christ. Be grateful. Be grateful for what Jesus has done for you. You had no hope. You did not know God. For Christ's love compels us. It drives us. Why are people, Brother Sabas, why are people not driven to be witnesses? Why aren't people not driven to do the work of the Lord? Can you tell me? They don't have the love. The love compels. Amen. When you get that love of God inside you, you can't look at people. I've seen people that I've been teaching and working with and dealing with, and it makes me want to cry at sometimes because I'm like, can't you see this? The love of God in our life will compel us to reach out, to do the work of God. It will compel us to quit being late and to be in the house of the Lord. You know, have you ever seen me running around like a chicken with my head cut off most of the times? Because everybody's late. The pastor shouldn't have to do all that stuff. Amen? I need to concentrate on what we're doing now, the Word. And that's why sometimes I'm just frazzled beyond belief. Jesus People are hopeless without Christ. Jesus is the only one that can save people. His name is the only power in the world. Amen? I'm sorry, folks. Allah has no power. Amen? Jesus is the name. Praise God. Do you see how mixed up I am? People are hopeless without the Lord. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But you notice that little yellow at the end? Somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to tell them. Now, there's only a dozen folks or 14 folks here tonight. I feel overwhelmed sometimes with what we have to do. It's so hard to reach folks. But we can multiply that 14 times. You don't need a whole lot of folks to do the work of the Lord. You just need folks that are committed. They've got a burden. They want the Lord to do something. They want to see people get the Holy Ghost. They want to be teachers. They want to help them. It's what we're supposed to do. Amen? It's what we're supposed to do. Did you know that God wants everybody saved? He wants all men to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. He wants all people to change their hearts and their lives. Here's the thing. You know, this is what I'm talking about, some of the music that we have. And I mean, it's pretty and it sounds good and all the rest of that. But where's the songs about? There's some glory coming. What is the songs about? Streets of gold. Where's the songs about? I'm going to bring some sheaves in. Where's the songs about victory in Jesus? Man, he's going to take care of me. I'm going to get the victory over all this stuff. Come on. What we hear some of today is Jesus is my boyfriend songs. Jesus should be our power. Amen? Jesus should be our power. We don't have that many of those here. So, as a matter of fact, if I knew some Jesus is my boyfriend songs, we probably wouldn't sing them. So, I'm not saying our worship leaders do that. I'm going to be rewarded. Remember that you will receive your reward from the Lord. Attitude check. Attitude check. We expect our reward from the Lord, not from the pastor. I got used to that, so that's probably why I do it. Some people got amazed. And they gave me an award in like 1999 when I was in Manhattan. They said, they bought me a recliner. They said, we don't understand. This guy don't. He has no title. He doesn't do anything. Nobody said it, but he does the work. Amen. Don't worry about titles. Don't worry. Just do the work of the Lord. Amen. You know, you say, well, the church is disorganized. Well, Lord, help us get it organized then. You've heard me say it before. If you're critical, you've got no right to be critical if you're not active. None. None. Zero. Either say amen or oh my. Amen. God's timetable. The good news about God's kingdom will be preached to all the world. And then the end will come. They asked him, Lord, at this time, are you going to give us the cave? He says, not for you to know. Don't worry about it. Just be my witnesses. Which is why we don't get a whole lot involved in prophecy. But you know what? God's timetable involves us fulfilling it. Us fulfilling it. I'm going to be glad. Number 10. Remember we talked about 10 reasons? The 10th reason. I'm going to be glad when I see people in heaven. I sure hope there's some. You know, I got a text from somebody. I don't even know who they were. And they texted me. And they said, Pastor, you don't know what your ministry has done to me. The things that you taught me have helped me so much. They helped me in my life now. I don't know who it was. I said, who is this? They never answered me. Which I thought was pretty weird, but you can make a difference in somebody's life. Maybe somebody that you witnessed to is going to take your hand in heaven and say, I'm so glad that you witnessed to me. Amen. You're never going to get anybody if you don't do anything. You say, well, you know, people just don't want it. Well, look at me. I was the guy, my boss didn't think he would teach me. Nobody would teach me a Bible. Nobody would witness to me. I was too mean. But you know what? 33 years later, what am I doing? Preaching the gospel. Don't let that limit you. You don't know what God will do. He who goes out weeping, bearing precious seed for growing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. The fruit of the tree of the righteous is the tree of life. And Sister E, you can go ahead and come out now. She's back there with the kiddies. Becky's in the Grand Canyon today. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And who, what? He that winneth souls is wise. You say, well, you know what? I'm not very wise. I don't have a good job. I don't have this. I don't have that. You don't have to be wise in the sight of the Lord by having a good job, by having some good tricks. You know what? He tells us a wise person is. A wise person is a person that wins souls. Amen. Daniel 12 and 3. Those who are wise, the soul winners, will shine like the brightness of heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness, their stars are going to shine forever and ever. Amen. Knowing this, what should my response be? Let's all stand. Sister Evanson, come on, please. I want to carry out the mission, Acts 20:24 from the New Century Version. I want to carry out the mission I receive from the Lord Jesus Christ, the mission of testifying to the good news of God's kindness. It's all He wants you to do. He just wants you to go tell somebody, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. God changed my life. I was once lost, and I was once a druggie, and I was once an alcoholic, but I've been set free by the power of God. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. Amen. Just let God work on you. Just let the Lord. Some folks need to receive a mission tonight. We're going to pray that prayer in just a little bit. Some need a mission that God would show them. That God would. He already showed you. Forget about the show and stuff. God showed you some stuff tonight. Amen. He wants you to fulfill His mission. He wants you to be part of what He does. You got to stop saying, you know, later, tomorrow, next week, I'm too proud or I'm too shy or whatever it is. Just get out and do the good news of the kingdom. Share that good news of the kingdom. And let God be responsible for the results. Amen. Don't limit yourself to somebody that looks like you or talks like you. You don't know who. Amen. Let's all gather. Get out of your pews and come on up and let's gather around the front. And we're going to sing a little bit. I feel the Holy Ghost moving here tonight. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul. Help me to look beyond myself, God. Help me, Lord, to look beyond my own agenda, God, beyond what I want, Lord. And help me, Lord, to do what You want me to do, God. Help me to stop holding myself back, Lord, but to do Your work, God, to do Your will, God, to get out on the mission, Lord, like the apostle wrote. He said, I want to carry out the mission I received from the Lord. Some soul upon my heart, won't You love that soul through? Come on, Jonathan, get out with everybody else up here. Get out of your pew. Come gather up front. Spirit, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, God, the touch of the Holy Ghost, God. understanding to the Word of God, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help my faith to grow, God, that I could receive the Holy Ghost, God, in the name of Jesus, that that power can come upon me, that I could be a disciple, God, that I could be a teacher, God, that I could bring some sheaves with me when I'm walking on streets of gold, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help me to see myself as you see me, God, in the name of the Lord. Speak to my heart and my mind, O God, in the name of Jesus. Show me my mission, God. Show me my mission, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Help me, Lord, to be faithful, God. Help me to work with you and walk with you, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Let the spirit of the soul winner be upon me, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, your touch, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your power and your anointing upon me tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Streets of glory, when it's all over and the rapture happens, somebody comes up to you and says, man, do you remember me? You're the one that witnessed to me. You're the one that told me about Jesus. You're the one. You're the one. You had the same background as I had, but you talked to me. You brought me there. Can you imagine the joy that you're going to have when somebody comes up to you? Think about it, like that old song that we sang earlier. Sing it again. We shall run rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, oh, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master, though the Lord sustained. Go to heaven with you. You want them walking streets of glory with you. You've got to get out of your shell. You've got to be faithful to the Lord. You've got to get a burden for the work of God. Hallelujah. So come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Can you clap your hand unto the Lord and shout unto God with a voice of triumph? God bless you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. If you're able to come out to pray Saturday morning. Amen. If you're not able to pray, the Spirit of the Lord upon this place, we need a Holy Ghost breakthrough. Amen. Amen. Brother Jonathan, why don't you come pray us, dismiss us tonight.
Bow our heads. Lord, thank you for a great service, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord, and your preaching, Lord. Just continue to bless us and bless each and every person in this church, Lord. Bless those who couldn't be here today and keep us safe as we travel home. In your mighty name I pray. Amen.